NEET's Foreign Affairs Minister Julie Bishop has remained largely silent on the Australian visit of her Iranian counterpart Mohammad Zarif next week as part of a six-nation Asia-Pacific tour. But the visit has attracted criticism from Melbourne Ports MP Michael Danby and from Jewish community organisations. The Jewish News understands that Bishop, who controversially met with Iranian President Hassan Rouhani last year and discussed intelligence sharing between Canberra and Tehran, will meet with Zarif during his visit. Now, he'll also speak at the Australian National University in Canberra on March 15, with the university publicity describing Iran as playing an increasingly important role in combating terrorism and working for peace and security in the Middle East. Now, Labor MP Michael Danby sharply condemned the welcoming stance Bishop is giving to Zarif, stating that this is not someone that the foreign minister should be welcoming to Australia. So we'll be watching very closely at Mohammad Zarif's visit to Australia. He'll be here next week. We wonder here at the Jewish News, when the Iranian foreign minister visits Australia, will our government challenge him over Tehran's sponsorship of international terrorism? And will they demand that Iranian leaders cease calling for Israel to be wiped off the map and stop denying the Holocaust? That remains to be seen.
We'll follow it up with you, Eva, next week. So we're talking to Evan Zlatke, Sydney journalist of the Australian Jewish News. Evan, guests arriving for the United Israel Appeal, the UIA dinner at the Grand Hyatt in Melbourne on Monday night were met with a noisy demonstration.
That's correct. They were met by protesters chanting anti-Israel slogans and slurs against the event's keynote speaker, former IDF chief Benny Gantz. Now, earlier in the day, flyers had been handed out at Monash University's Clayton campus urging people to join the protest against Gantz, and they called him the child killer of Gaza, describing Israeli Zionists as born of deceit and a grotesque sense of entitlement, and accusing Israel of bloodlust, wanton cruelty and casual carnage. But Benny Gantz had a message for the demonstrators, addressing his capacity audience during a Q&A session with Israeli journalist Yoav Limor. The former IDF chief drew applause from the audience when he said, in a way, on the condition that they were willing to listen, I wish the 20 or 30 demonstrators outside could be inside the auditorium and realize what we're talking about. Rejecting the protesters' descriptions of him as a war criminal, Gantz described the IDF as a true moral military force shaped by the mindfulness of generations of Israelis, so many of them, like Gantz, the descendants of Holocaust survivors. Gantz said his mother, a Holocaust survivor from Hungary, advised him during Operation Cast Lead against Hamas in 2008 to 2009. She said, Benny, don't stop fighting, but don't stop sending them food. So that's Gantz's message for protesters who demonstrated outside his talk at the UIA gala dinner in Melbourne last Monday night.
And we are talking to Evan Zlatke, Sydney journalist of the Australian Jewish News. Evan, the AJN reports this week on a very strange match between Redham House and Moir College.
Nita, this is a bizarre story that I covered for the Jewish News this week. The principal of Redham House has described an incident at a Year 8 boys touch football match against Moriah last week as appalling and said it was an isolated incident of stupidity rather than any religious or racial vilification. Now, this is how the story goes. Before the match started, the Redham students got into a huddle chanting Jew FC. They also played a game in which money was thrown into the middle of the huddle and someone had to grab it while being punched and kicked. Anti-Semitic remarks were also reportedly heard during and after the match. And after the game, the Redham students again chanted Jew FC. But Nita, this is the bizarre part. 7 of the 10 Redham offenders are actually Jewish themselves. Now, we spoke to Dave Pitcan, who is the principal of Redham College, earlier this week, and he told me that he has met with the boys and they were oblivious to the offensive nature of the game that they were playing. He said the negative stereotyping it involved simply escaped them. He said the composition of the Redham team includes 7 Jewish students and it defies belief that they were part of this behavior. Now, I asked Mariah's principal, John Hamey, what measures Mariah teachers took to stop the situation from continuing. He said the coach of the team did take action on the day, asking the boys from the other school to refrain from the behaviour that they were displaying. Jewish Board of Deputies CEO Vic Aladev intervened. He met with Redden Principal Dave Pitkan. The agreement they came up with was that Redden Year 8 students will take part in the Jewish Board of Deputies Respect, Understanding, Acceptance Schools Harmony program next term. That will be held at the Sydney Jewish Museum, and Vic Aladev will deliver a presentation on leadership and racism at a Redden school assembly. So a bizarre, bizarre story. We hope that we won't have to cover this ever again. The principal of Redden came out strongly condemning the incident. He said that if a racial vilification was to happen again at the school, the offenders would be asked to leave immediately. We hope that doesn't happen. We'll be watching this closely to see what happens.
Evan, Harry Trigubov is helping the Jewish community again.
He is. Australia's third richest man has committed to a $1 million redevelopment of the Yeshiva Centre in Bondi. Harry Trigubov spoke exclusively to the Jewish News this week and said that he will fund the redevelopment to build new classrooms. Now, the $1 million renovation includes building works already approved but not completed as part of the federal government's Building Education Revolution program. Now, Nitza, listeners might remember that in 2012, the Jewish News reported that an independent report for the government, which reviewed Yeshiva College's bank account statements, check butts and other documentation, determined that some of the $467,000 given to the school as part of the BER program had not been used for the correct purpose. Later that year, of course, Harry Trigubov bought Yeshiva's Flood Street property to help Yeshiva clear its debt, but he insisted as part of the purchase that Rabbi Pinchas Feldman step aside and Rabbi David Slavin take over the center. He spoke to the Jewish News this week and he said that he believes Yeshiva can prosper. He says he hopes the school will be accepted by the community like any other school and says he hopes that Yeshiva will have up to 120 kids.
We are talking to Evan Zlatkis, Sydney journalist of the Australian Jewish News. Evan, I believe that there was a Jewish float in the Mardi Gras parade last week.
Correct. More than 70 members of Sydney's Jewish community took part in this year's Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras as part of Dayenu's float last weekend. Dayenu, of course, is a Sydney-based lesbian, gay, transgender Jewish group, and it produced a float decorated with a large Star of David and a menorah-inspired light display. Now, Jewish Board of Deputies President Jeremy Spinak visited the Dayenu contingent as they prepared for the Mardi Gras, and he told the Jewish News that he was proud to be there to demonstrate support. He said, "We must stand up against discrimination directed at gay and lesbian people in the wider community, but also within our own community." So this was really a celebration of identity. You can check out the photo on page 3 of this week's Jewish News as Dayenu members and supporters practice their parade choreography in front of the Dayenu float. Full coverage in this week's Jewish News.
Evan Zlatkis, Sydney journalist of the Australian Jewish News. Thank you very much.